hats off to the Nashville Police Department for taking out a complete coward. The stage is set. The crowds are taking their seat. Let's get ready to rumble. Brian Koberger is making friends and influencing people. Sam Bankman Fried bribes foreign officials, gets charged for it. Should have done in America. It was just a campaign donation. Another politician in trouble. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like if you do. Leave me a comment. Hit that little bell so you receive notifications. And remember, you can listen to us anytime on any of your favorite podcasting apps. Just type in Crime Talk. All right. Before we get to the docket, we need to pay the bills. How do we do that? Well, when you all go to crimetalksearch.com, that's how. Go there, sign up for a background subscription service. When you have that service, one which you can cancel at any time, so whether you do one background search or 100, you can keep it as long or as short as you would like. But that report is literally generated while you wait, and you're going to get information as to the person you're searching about here in the United States as to whether they have a criminal history. Do they have liens against them? Judgments? Are they married? Are they divorced? Are they telling you the truth? Check these people out. I'm telling you, you need to look into who you are getting involved with in a relationship. We've said it before, it is dating malpractice not to do a background search on somebody. And I'm not talking about a quick Google search. I'm talking about a background search. I'm telling you, it could save your life. All right, let's go ahead and get to the docket. Let's open the record for March 28th of 2023. Let's take a moment and watch the Nashville Police Department take out this coward. Yep, you gotta love America, where you can look at body cams and see a coward whose goal was to get up in the morning yesterday there in Nashville and go kill three innocent children aged 9 and three adults that were helping the youth of America become educated, productive members of society. But then a coward goes in there and shoots, like I said, a 9-year-old, Evelyn Dykehouse, Hallie Scruggs, and William Kinney, 9 years old. Scruggs was the daughter of Chad Scruggs, who is actually the pastor at the Affiliated Presbyterian Church. And then the three adults were a substitute teacher, Cynthia Peake, head of the school, Dr. Catherine Kuntz, and a custodian, Mike Hill, all killed by a complete coward. Now, this complete coward is believed to be this woman by the name of Audrey Hale. And apparently she had some resentment towards the school, a school that she attended at some point during her childhood. And clearly Audrey Hale has some mental health issues. And we also know that she targeted the school after her initial target. Well, it had too much security. I've said this before, ladies and gentlemen, these school shooters are nothing but cowards. Why do they go to schools? They are soft targets. We've had the same stuff here at a high school just recently. Just the other day, a student shot two administrators. Now 6 people dead here in Nashville. These people are cowards. And what stops these bad guys with a gun? The good guys with a gun. And only if the good guys with a gun had been there, maybe they never even would have thought to go in there. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You ever been to a gun store? What does everyone working behind the counter there carry? A firearm or two. You ever seen a gun store robbed in the middle of the day? No, you haven't. Why? Because it's not a soft target. I've told you this. I've represented criminals for 28 years. I've talked to them. What do they do when they go after somebody? They look for weakness. They look where they don't think they're going to get caught, and it's an easy getaway. But the key thing is they look for weakness, ladies and gentlemen. And this Hale girl, she was going there because she knew there wasn't going to be any security. So let's take a look at this coward, and let's see how she dies. I hope she got her wish. She apparently told a friend that morning. Oh, that's right. She said she was going to go tell a friend. She told a friend that she was going to die today. Of course, that friend didn't call the police and say, hey, something's not right. Somebody go better check on old Audrey. No, they didn't. So we know that Audrey drives up about 9:54 a.m. yesterday morning, 10:10, opens fire on some doors. They shatter, walks through them. Pieces of glass fall to the floor as most of the two double doors are broken, obviously, by the gunfire. She then steps through the frames of the destroyed glass door with the debris, obviously, all around her. Hale then steps into the empty reception area of the church, which is adjacent to the school. At 10:13, the first 911 call is made as the killer literally stocks rooms for victims. Hale is seen entering a carpeted room inside the church looking for more victims. The room seems empty as Hale exits it again and a short time after entering it. The first call to 911 about shots being fired in the building came approximately at that time. At 10:18, Hale continues searching through the doors looking for more victims. Hale is seen on the same camera inside the church, still looking for victims, turning left and right and holding her rifle. She opens the door to the next room and steps inside. At 10:19, the 28-year-old Hale continues to stalk around. Then she returns to the door and aims her gun, although there's no one there. She looks around, pointing her rifle. Just 30 seconds later, she tries another door. What a coward, hunting small children that are unarmed. I cannot, the garbage, she's just garbage. Anyway, she walks through the door, continues to go around. 10:20, main school, walks past the reception and starts shooting. Hale is now through a wooden floored building labeled first in the footage past the empty reception area. She stalks the corridor, then disappears from view again. In the next 7 minutes without footage, Hale shoots approximately six people. Coward. She shot and killed head teacher Catherine Kuntz in the hallway in an assassination-style killing, in addition to shooting the custodian Mike Hill and substitute teacher Cynthia Peake. Hale also murdered, like I said, the 3 9-year-olds. Let that sink in. Coward 9-year-olds. 10:27, Hale's finally shot dead on the second floor of the school. She engaged officers who fired back and killed her. So at least we know the cops are better shot than Miss Hale. Take a look at that one more time. Take a look at that. Those cops taking her out. God bless them. I tell you, cowards. And you know what the sad thing is? Is when I woke up this morning and on the radio, what were people talking about? The big controversy, not that this Miss Audrey Hale killed six people and 3 9-year-olds. No. They're not outraged at that. No, people are outraged that the police department apparently weren't using the correct pronouns. Okay, this just shows you how out of touch with reality we are these days. Three innocent people dead, three children dead, completely innocent. And all people want to do is use this for their own political agenda by saying you need to use the killer's correct pronouns. Yeah, I got some pronouns. She's dead. He's dead. They're dead. How's that? Next on the docket, Lori Vallow. Let's get ready to rumble. That's right. The trial is scheduled to begin next week, ladies and gentlemen. On the defense team, we have Jim Archibald, who's been a public defender for over 30 years and has been assigned to at least 27 homicide cases and at least 5 death penalty cases. Also accompanying him in the tag team mats is John Thomas. He's been a defense attorney since 2005, and he previously worked as a prosecutor in Bingham County. Although they came to the game late, they are winning. Now, John Thomas, does he not remind you of John Candy or Chris Farley every time you see him? I think he does, but he's doing a bang-up job. Over here in this corner, we have the government. The prosecutor's Rob Wood from Madison County. Been the prosecuting attorney since 2020 after serving 5 years in the office as a young deputy. Lindsay Blake is the Fremont County prosecuting attorney, also elected in 2020, and then the hired gun for the prosecution, Rachel Smith, from Missouri with over 25 years of experience in homicide and death penalty cases. Bringing up the rear is Spencer Rammel and Tanya Rawlings are also prosecutors on the team. So far, all of them have years of experience, but they already look dazed and confused before the bout has even begun. They've missed deadlines, and they've been more concerned with money issues than achieving justice. We will see if they can get their act together and rally against the heavy burden of proof that is required of Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. And the judge or the referee for this bout is District Court Judge Stephen Boyce. After 20 years of private practice, he was appointed to the bench in 2019. He definitely started off favoring the prosecution, but he seems to have been getting his sea legs after repeated blunders by the prosecution, and he may also be trying to minimize the prejudice of setting Lori Vallow's trial outside of her speedy trial by dismissing the death penalty. And let's not forget the main contender, although we doubt we'll hear from them throughout the match, Lori Vallow, charged with first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, and grand theft. The brawl will be over whether the government can prove Lori Vallow's involvement in the allegations of conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and grand theft by deception for the death of Tylee Ryan. First-degree murder of the death of Tylee Ryan, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and grand theft by deception for the death of J.J. Vallow. First-degree murder for the death of J.J. Vallow, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder in the death of Tammy Daybell. That's right, husband number five's previous wife, and grand theft. Was there a conspiracy, an agreement between two or more people to commit an illegal act? Did the evil dead guy, her brother Alex Cock, do it without Lori's knowledge? We're going to have to wait and see if $3.6 million gets you justice or just a bunch of bad press for small town prosecutors. The questions will all be answered April 24th. Remember, get your tickets now. Let's get ready to rumble. Brian Koberger, making friends and influencing people. Apparently, a new inmate has threatened to kill the Idaho quadruple murder suspect, Brian Koberger. And apparently threats are quite numerous to Koberger, and that the deputies at the jail are having to deal with nonstop threats. The deputies have even had to move Mr. Koberger to another location in the jail. Don't be alarmed. The deputies, it's their job to make sure nothing bad happens to Brian Koberger, because you know if he got injured, he'd sue. So you can't let anything bad happen to him. The state is going to first give him a fair trial, because we'll give him the presumption of innocence. And then if he is ultimately convicted, he'll get the firing squad, because they just passed that last week in Idaho. Next on the docket, Sam Bankman-Fried. Oh, yes. One man's bribe is another man's political contribution. Go figure. That's right. Sam Bankman-Fried allegedly paid a $40 million bribe to at least one Chinese government official to unfreeze $1 billion worth of cryptocurrency. This all came out in a new superseding indictment. The federal prosecutors in Manhattan have now charged Sam Bankman-Fried with directing the payment in cryptocurrency in order to unfreeze accounts belonging to his hedge fund, Alameda Research. The Chinese authorities had frozen that account back in November of 2021, and the accounts held more than $1 billion of cryptocurrency, according to prosecutors. Now, once those assets were unfrozen, the indictment alleges that Sam Bankman-Fried authorized another transfer of tens of millions of dollars of additional cryptocurrency to complete the bribe. So now there are 13 new international bribery charges that increase the pressure on old Sam Bankman-Fried.